and
Margaret Thatcher.
What'd you say? And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz, and I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey guys, how are you doing this fine evening?
At DFF underscore Madman and Shane Manila.
Hey, I'm stoked for a giant, huge, verbose episode.
Yeah, cool. And did you call me a hobbit when I was trying to do the opening?
No. Yeah. No, you know what's funny is, and I didn't even notice this. It was either last week or the week before. Someone heard you mumble under your breath for me to blow you.
Yes, our friend Bobby.
I didn't even...
I don't remember either. Shane and I got into an argument, and during the argument, I said, blow me. And I didn't realize it either. It just kind of came out, but Bobby Koch mentioned it. So, yeah.
Oh, you left that in the show?
Sure, why not?
I don't remember you doing that. It's hilarious.
I would never say anything like that.
Is that really hurtful? What is that? Is like an insult to you? Or why is that hurtful? But yes, you're right.
Tell me what to do. I don't like being bossed around. I want to blow you. I'll blow you. You know? It should be my decision, though.
Oh, my God. All right. We're cool. Hey, listen, you're right. We do have a big show. We have Dynasty Rich from the Dynasty Nerds coming on the show tonight.
Dynasty Nerds!
Yeah.
So pretty awesome. So let's plow through this news that's brought to you by RotoSurance.
Yeah.
Check out their site and put in the Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field.
In all caps.
Get your code and go, all caps, go save some money. So we only got a little bit of news. We've got Josh Rosen. Right now, it looks like Washington is the odds-on favorite to trade for him, according to Roto World headlines this morning.
So it's so funny to say that something where it's possible that this guy might go here is news. It seems like they keep talking about this over and over again that he might
conjecture.
Go somewhere. Is it? But then I also hear from other people that it's a possibility that nothing ever happens and Arizona's just doing all this just to hype up a trade to get that pick.
I think they're doing that anyway. There could be some validity to them wanting to move Rosen and having real deals in place and debating what they want to do with that. But I also think that regardless of that, it works in their favor to have to say that. It definitely helps them in the position they're in with the draft.
Just of all the places that he's been kind of linked to, Chargers, Pats, is this the absolute worst landing spot? Because even the Giants, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the Giants have Evan Ingram and, you know, Sterling Shepard's a very competent wide receiver. You assume they're going to – they have Saquon, obviously. What, Washington has Paul Richardson, Trey Quinn, and Josh Doxton.
And honestly, just what we've seen over the past few years of the Redskins' structure, their team, their coach, their owner, everything – it does seem like it would be the worst of those places to go to, even worse than the Giants.
The only contradiction I'll have is those other teams that you're talking about, if he went to those teams, he'd obviously be sitting behind those players. If he went to Washington, isn't it a possibility that he'd be starting over Case Keenum?
Well, I mean, he will.
So then maybe
he's going to be scoring about 8 points a game.
Okay, so as opposed to sitting behind somebody and scoring nothing.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing. So he goes to Washington, scores 8 points a game, gets absolutely destroyed again this year, like he did last year, gets sacked another 50 times and throws for 30 interceptions. His confidence is going to be shot, and he's finished. As opposed to going to just say New England. He gets to learn from arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady. He's with, a genius of a coach in Bill Belichick. Sitting out a year is not absolutely the worst thing that could happen there.
Yeah, it wouldn't be great for us that own him in fantasy, for people that have them on their dynasty teams, to go to those locations because they might have to wait to, for him to be a starter. I get that. But, man, just like you said, Shane, if he goes to Washington and he's the starter for that team, good God, could that possibly be worse than Arizona? I don't know. I mean, it's certainly not much of a step up right now. in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it is so awesome. I always look at it as fantasy as opposed to real football.
Yeah.
And to me, right. if he's behind, if he's behind two or three quarterbacks that are going to start for another couple years, then you're going to get nothing out of him. So
yep.
that was well, my only here's point. The thing. So
I'm just thinking, if he gets traded to New York, that's pretty much okay. Eli, we're going to let him just, you know, maybe this year, but he's out.
All right. So what about behind Priv in Chargers? There's a good couple years before you
Chargers. I got to say this. Anyone that trades for Rosen, you got to think that they're telling their existing quarterback, hey,
time's up.
You to move on.
Right. So so is that what you think would happen?
Except for New England, obviously. They Brady will play until he wants to.
Sure.
Again, but I think he goes to Washington. I think his career is done.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, we don't have a lot of news, and we do have Rich waiting, so why don't we just get right into our guest? But before we bring him in, let's do gtbets.eu. Shane, read the GTBets thing.
Oh, you need to leave that in the thing. Shane, read. So what you want to do is go hit up that GTBets. Make sure you use our promo, which is TradesHQ. So you're going to use, what you're going to do is if you like gambling and you like making, you like getting money, sign up right now. There's a sign up bonus, 100% cash bonus up to $500 on the first deposit, and then $50 up to $500 on the second deposit. That's a lot of math. So what I'm going to say is just go on GTBets right now. Going to use the referred by TradesHQ. That's what you're going to put in a referred by field. It's going to enable you to get the biggest bonuses on there. I'd go ahead up and sign up for $500 because apparently you get 100% cash with that. So that's another $500 for you to win money with. So go ahead and do that. Hit GT Bets. They've got some casino rebates, 10% and monthly 15% horse rebates. And that's not buying horses. That's betting.
So pretty cool.
So yeah, I was gambling, just laid down a little bit of money on Virginia. I believe it's Virginia, right? Yeah, Virginia to win the national title.
Good bet.
Yeah, because I like their unis.
That's the reason?
And that's all I got. No.
I like their unis.
No, I read up some things and stuff, and you know, I went with Virginia. So
good for you.
Hopefully I have a house tomorrow. Anyway.
Well, speaking of unis, though, I heard on a show recently that the Browns are getting ready to get new uniforms next year, and that leads into our guest tonight, Dynasty Rich, Rich Dotson, the creator of DynastyNerds.com. How you doing, Rich?
Pretty sweet. How you fellas doing?
Great, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. You were talking about the new...
You're on.
You were talking about your new uniforms the other day for next year, right?
For the Browns?
Yeah.
Oh, can't wait. I don't give a shit about the uniform. I just care about – I just want to see the Browns on the field. That's what I want to see. I don't care. They come out there in pink tutus, and I'm going to still be going, you know, jumping up and down, being ecstatic about it. Baker out there in his little pink tutu throwing Odell in his multicolored Prince tutu. It's going to be a glorious sight to see.
The energy's back, man. I went to the Cincinnati game, the home game, right before Christmas, and I couldn't believe how awesome it was to be in the stadium again. I mean, just – the energy was different. I mean, the whole feel. I mean, whether they won or lost. I mean, and they did win and they won big, but it was amazing to be part of that again. I sat just in the dog pound above where they have the nice mezzanine level now. Like, I'll sit here every week. This is great.
Yeah, I have season tickets and I've had them for like 9 years, and you know, it's not been so great.
Right.
For the last couple, and
stuck
I'm
it out.
Excited. Yeah, for a guy that goes to every game, I'm finally feeling like I'll be able to watch real football. This is exciting.
Yeah. Cheers to you, man. That's you're an even better fan than I am. I kind of boycotted stuff for a while there. I mean, I still watch them, you know, but I DVR'd them and I sped through it and I didn't buy anything for years. And so I was like, you change the product and I'll come back. And they did. So I'm back. It's as easy as it is.
Sounds terrible, to be honest with you.
Besides the website, though, don't you also do sports for ESPN for Cleveland as well?
Yeah, I do. I'm a ESPN Cleveland's fantasy analyst. Fox Sports Ohio, I'm trying live. I'm their fantasy analyst as well. So I do a little TV so people stare at my ugly face and actually see how ugly I am. Which is great. You know, like I'm a fan of the people. You know, give them all aspects of me. You know, talk bad, look bad. I'm married.
Nah.
So, yeah, anything that has to do with fantasy football, I try to dabble in a little bit in hopefully provide people with some information that could help them win their championship, because that's why we all play. That's all that matters is winning. So
that's a fact.
Any edge you can get, man, take the information how you want. But that's why we play, to win, not to look good on paper, you know, like the Browns do essentially right now. And, you know, look at my dynasty roster in 3 years. This team's going to be fantastic. Let me tell
it's
you.
It's always in 3 years. 3 years.
Yeah, that's always down the road. I've been playing Dynasty for going on 16 years, and the amount of times that's actually come to fruition where that team did turn into some powerhouse is like almost on Bueller, 0.0 almost. It's ridiculous. So just play to win the game, man.
It's funny. When I've been playing for over 20 years, but I started doing Dynasty about 7 years ago, and your guys' show was one of the first shows I ever listened to. And that mentality is pretty much what I do now, too. I'll trade away rookies or devies or rookie picks to get somebody that'll help me win the league now, because that's what it's supposed to be about.
What? Because you might be dead the following season.
Well, yeah. He also says because I'm too old and I might be dead. But
yeah. Oh, no, like if you ever, yeah, I would never. If I were in your situation, I would definitely not trade for future rookie picks, because there's literally no guarantee I'm going to be next year.
Well, especially like Jeremy was mentioning in the pre-show, I've slept 9 hours since Saturday morning, so maybe I might happen during this show. So,
real quick, Rich, just on that same note, so does that mean you're a proponent of selling off rookie picks in general?
I'm a proponent of just about anybody's. Anything's for sale. At the right point, I'd sell rookie picks. Absolutely. I mean, sometimes at a certain time of year, I mean, you can get such overvalue on a rookie pick. Yep. It's ridiculous. Yep. So I understand everybody's striving for the next wide receiver one, that next AJ Green, Julio Jones. And the best way to acquire that player is to get him for real cheap through your rookie draft. But the problem is, too many people, you know, you got to think, like, there's only a couple handful wide receiver ones, like true wide receiver ones. Running backs got a little bit deeper this year. Tight ends, I mean, those things are almost like, I mean, there's a handful of tight ends that you really like out there. So you got to, like, really, when you get those guys, I like to hold on to those guys. And I like to try and get those guys while the price is still attainable. So for me, if it takes a rookie pick to get that or a proven player, I mean, absolutely, I'm willing to sell a rookie pick. But I also understand the value of a rookie pick and what it can get you, because it can get you Saquon Barkley for the rest of his career. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to say anything. I don't like to put anything in a vacuum. I like to leave everything on the table. And, you know, each team's different. League structure is different. So, mm-hmm. You know, how is that going to do? And what makes my team better? You know, I mean, we talk about that all the time. Is like, you know, oh, you lost that trade. It's easy to look at something on paper and say, well, you clearly lost that trade.
Absolutely.
But if your team was significantly better, it's going to help you win that championship like we were talking about earlier, then I don't. That's fine. I don't care. You know?
As long as your team got marginally better, it doesn't really matter. The win or lose is too simplified. Yeah. Did your team get better?
For a rookie pick, like somebody's just like, oh, you gave up that pick? Like, you just automatically drafted Julio Jones. Well, meanwhile, they drafted Kevin White. Yep. You know, you could have taken anybody, you know. You could have taken Joe Flacco and you would have been better off, which is almost impossible to say in real words, and I just said it.
for later on in the show, we do have some trades that we wanted to go over, and a few of them have a lot of rookie picks in them. For me, I always kind of looked at them as kind of like the way people do, like, baseball cards and football cards. Like, if you want a Todd Gurley card, you could go buy that box of football cards for, like, $80 and maybe pull that card, or go on to eBay and buy the Todd Gurley card itself. So for me, a lot of times, instead of taking the shot on that rookie thing, I'll trade him for the players that I want now. And then if I want that guy later, I'll trade it to get the guy later.
And you know, it's a good analogy for that too. The best time to sell a damn card is like when that player's playing now, when they're hot, you know, and then like Pat Mahomes rookie autograph card, that's the best time to sell it. Cause by the time he retires, ain't nobody waiting in that line for that autograph. They want the new Pat Mahomes autograph. So you got to just kind of sometimes sell it while it's hot. Is it hot? And is it fantastic? Absolutely. But sometimes that return just, you know, it outshines that hotness.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's always that window, kind of like you were saying with the picks too. There's certain times of the year where it's great to trade your pick. It's great to hold on to your pick. It's great to get a pick from somebody. You just got to ride that wave when it happens.
Yeah. You know, the best time to trade that rookie pick is just to hold off as long as you can. Just keep edging it. You know what I mean? Just hold off as long as you can. Yeah. And then when that rookie draft shows up and you're on the clock and now you're ready to deal, people are like, yeah, I really want Hakeem Butler really bad. He's for sure going to be Julio Jones. I'll give you my children.
Like, oh, that sweet. That sounds like Shane.
Got some good workers over here.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because children are good because they have little baby hands. They're, oh my the God. Stitching on T-shirts that they do is incredible.
No. The kids did not make our shirts.
Oh, all right. Well, no, I mean, if that's the party line, I'll stick with the company line. Yeah, you know, bringing up Pat Mahomes, just that I'm all for selling him right now. And I know everyone thinks he's basically going to throw for 5,050 every year. And I got a lot of shit for ranking another quarterback over him.
Baker?
Yes.
Baker? Yeah. No shit taken from me. I'm okay with it.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a big thing. We talked about it on the show, and then like it blew up on Twitter. Yes.
Well, yeah, man, you could probably sell Mahomes right now for Baker Plus, which to me is just insanity. So.
Well, Shane, like, is this in a either format, either super flex or like even a super flex?
Super flex. I'm just single QB. I'm so out of practice. Even in the leagues I'm in, I'm so confused with quarterback value now in one quarterback leagues.
Can't do it.
Dude, yeah, if you're in one QB league and you can get an elite running back for Pat Mahomes or an elite receiver for Pat Mahomes, yeah, all day long. Like, that'd be silly not to. I mean, I'll just trade for the, you know, you can make a trade. Yeah. I mean, you can acquire Ben Roethlisberger in Dynasty for pretty cheap, right? I mean, in a one QB league, I mean, yeah. Phillip Rivers, he's going to be pretty cheap. And guess what? Those quarterbacks, they just get older. So you can keep acquiring the cheap quarterbacks. They get tossed around like an ugly high school. Never mind.
But you can also do that in Superflex as well. I mean, if you're talking about elite running back, you know, I know you have your whole 2 to 3 year window for the running backs, but if you
disagree.
You disagree.
No way.
No way.
In a Superflex, you know how hard it is for an NFL team to find a good quarterback, you know, for a long period of time? Again, I just, like, that totally counterpoints my last thing where I'm like, oh, you could trade for a Ben Roethlisberger or a Phillip Rivers. Like, but, if you get a 23 year old Baker Mayfield, and you can have him on your dynasty team for 15 years.
Okay.
15 years in a dynasty league? You can have a small child come out of your significant other, and by the time he retires, he's driving you to the bar.
Okay, wait. Yeah, I know what you're gonna say, Shane. So hold off 1 second.
No,
I know what you're gonna say.
The perfect intro.
And it's part of what he's saying. But what you're telling me that you can still do that with the Phillip Rivers and with some of those quarterbacks. You don't need to have the 23 year old.
Rivers isn't playing for 10 more years.
Yeah, I'm not saying 10 more years.
That bar, you're taking home the 65 year old widow. And you're wearing the bar clothes, and nobody sees you walk out of it.
No, but I mean, you could get that elite running back and then ride with those guys. But I know what Shane's going to do. He's going to bring up this trade that he was talking about earlier. So do it. This is now when you're doing it.
And just so no one thinks that I purposely led the conversation this way, I'm not smart enough to lay the breadcrumbs like.
I don't think anybody thinks that. I think it just got lucky. Go ahead.
Thank you. Everyone thinks I'm stupid. I appreciate that. So right now, guy Trader Duck on what do you call that? On the Twitter box there.
Yeah.
He tagged us in a trade. Well, it's not a trade actually. It's a startup draft. But he, you know, it's super flex, and he has a choice between Nick Chubb and Carson Wentz. Which, you know, great. Personally, what would you guys take? I mean, you know which way I'm going.
And you know my answer, too. So let's hear these two guys.
If you had asked me who I would rather draft there, if it was like a startup draft, I'm drafting Nick Chubb over Carson Wentz. Oh, but the big reason for me, though, is like Carson Wentz. If I had to make that trade, I would take Wentz, but then I would flip Wentz early in the season for something even maybe like Chubb. You might be able to even get Chubb plus at that point with Kareem coming back, only because – I'm not a big Wentz fan. I mean, the dude's been hurt every single year in the NFL. He was hurt in college. It's like, come on, dude. Yeah. Like, you're consistent. Like, you're consistently bad. Like, if you're – just like
consistently hurt.
Hurt. Yeah, it's like, dude, if you're not there for me in the playoffs, like, what the shits, dude? Like, what's going on? You're not here – to me, it's just like, yeah, it's like Odell the last couple of years. Why you kind of got a little bit of a discount on Odell just because he hasn't been there the last couple of years. Because, again, you can finish the season undefeated with the most points – in your league history, like ever, the greatest team in your dynasty league history, and then you lose and you don't win, and nobody gives a shit ever. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about what place you came in, the best team ever. Did you win? No, thanks.
See, and with Shane, when he answered that, he answered it through our show Twitter handle, and he had said, "This is stupid, a running back over a top five quarterback in Superflex." So obviously,
and I also said, "What do people think SF stands for? San Francisco?" Because I'm pretty funny.
Well, that is true, but I didn't see that right here. I'm looking at your thing right here. I didn't see that part, but that is hilarious.
So Shane, you would take Chubb in that trade?
No, he would take Wentz.
I'm taking Wentz. No, I'm taking Wentz easy. I'm taking Wentz in the startup, in the dispersal, in a trade there. And I hear what you're saying about Wentz being injured the last couple of years, but they're not connected injuries. You know what I mean? If it's a recurring where he's, you know, Alshon Jeffrey before he fixed his hamstrings, or, you know, where it was every year, it's a hamstring issue, then I'd say, okay, there's a definite issue here. This guy just seems to have bad luck the last 2 years with the ACL, PCL, and then apparently breaking his spine.
It was his wrist.
So maybe he needs calcium. I mean, they should look into that. I won't deny that.
See, I would take the Chubb side, and I would rather have the quote unquote elite running back thing, and I'll get a Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger and ride that for a couple of years with those guys and draft a young rookie or something.
And I'm assuming that based on where this is happening and the drafts I've been in recently, that I already have another player on my team before Chubb and Wentz. So
yeah, this isn't round one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely not based on these two players. And so I'm going with Chubb. I'm assuming I probably already have my first quarterback of two. And I think between the two of these players, I would want Chubb. Wentz against another player, I might want Wentz.
You could do better. You should be able to do better than that. You should just be able to do better. Like, I mean, I like Nick Chubb a ton, man. I mean, you're talking about Nick Chubb last year was running back 15. And I know he didn't play all the games, but between weeks 8 and 17, he was running back 8. So he was on all cylinders. At that point,
right,
he was still at running back 8, because he's a fantastic running back. But just because you're a fantastic running back doesn't overly mean you're going to be like an absolute fantasy stud, right? Sure. So definitely with Kareem Hunt in the mix, you can't say it's going to get any better. I mean, Kareem Hunt last year was running back 12 on a year, and he stopped week 11. Running back 6, you know, he was running back 6 going into week 11, led the NFL in rushing the year previously, finished the year as running back number four. So even though Chubb caught the ball a little bit, it's not overly a strong suit. Well, Kareem Hunt does use, you know, it is a strong suit. So if you're actually going to split them up and let one do what he does best and the other what he doesn't necessarily do best, then Hunt's going to be on the field on almost all the third downs at that point. And he's too good not to even get some more looks than that as well. So for me, to make that move for Chubb on a guy like Carson Wentz, I mean, no way. You can do better than that. I mean, for a guy like Carson Wentz, if he's coming out like Shane said, it was just all freak accidents, right? Like, he's not injury prone at this point, which is, again, he's too young to say he's consistent like that, but that's the way he's been going. If Wentz comes out and he's week 9, which he's shown he can get that far, and he's QB4 on a year in a super flex league, you can get Nick Chubb plus something. You know what I mean?
It's like, that's the thing. Quarterback value in super flex is high. I mean, you should be able to get much more. I mean, you should know the value of Wentz being a young top quarterback and not sell, you know, low. And Shane, that's Shane's favorite quarterback, by the way. He's a Philadelphia fan. So there's not a lot of bias, but there is definitely some.
You know what? I won't even lie. There's definitely a little bit of the hometown bias. But just in general, I think that the elite tier of quarterbacks, you can move off of one of those guys. And like Rich is saying, pick up another piece to go with them, and you're not losing much. You're actually gaining value overall for, you know, your score each week.
Just say Wentz was balling out now people are like, remember just a couple years prior, they had him he was like that Baker Mayfield, right? That's where he was. People were like, oh, he's QB number 2 overall in super flex. Like,
right.
If he got to that point, I mean, you'd be able to get like Nick Chubb and like, I mean, I'm not saying that this is easy, but you might be able to get to the point where you get Nick Chubb and like a Tyler Lockett. Somebody might even be willing to give you like a Mike Williams, and then you're coming up on something like that. Now you're talking, like, you're bringing a fair value for a quarterback like that.
I'm going to cut you off real quick, Mark. And when I tell people, you know, like, I got Baker ranked 1, it really, in the grand scheme of things, I go by tiers anyway. And it doesn't matter, because I will never be in a position, hopefully, in where I'm drafting either of those guys, because I'm going to trade out of the first round as far back as possible. So hopefully those guys are actually off the board and I can just, you know, have my pick of Wentz and someone like that later.
And the only reason what I was going to say about it was, and Rich, you mentioned in the very beginning when we first started talking, you could talk about all these trades in a vacuum, or you could talk about the specifics of the teams. So every single one of the things you guys all said when you said your answers, you had a specific situation. Well, if this was the situation, or if this was the situation. But the question was in a vacuum, which one of those two guys would you take? And shut up, Shane. So is there enough of a tier of elite running backs compared to the tier of the quarterbacks that you can get at that position? That was the only reason why I would go with the running back before the quarterback, because I'll get one of those other quarterbacks. But the drop off between those running backs that are going to do something and the quarterbacks that are going to do something, to me, is a bigger drop. That's why I say the running back.
That's literally the exact opposite of how I like to operate my dynasty teams.
Okay,
like,
cool.
If I'm going to have the most fluid situation on my team, it will always be the running back situation. 100%
of the time. Yeah, same on my teams.
You can literally – it's the one position in your rookie drafts you can literally plug and play at a high level. So, like, if I can get the 1-1 and it's a solid running back class plus another good running back, I traded Saquon Barkley last year. No, up to the draft, and I gave up. He gave me Christian McCaffrey at the time going into the draft. I got the 1-2, which I turned into Sony Michel.
Right.
I got 2-1, which I got Mike Gesicki, and I ended up getting somebody else as well for Saquon. You know,
sure.
And Saquon is Saquon, but I'd honestly rather have Christian McCaffrey and Sony Michel for a team that had no running back. So, I mean, running backs, I'm training them. Like, if I can train away and get good value in return, it's the one position I'm always going to be fluid in, man. I'm just going to keep on keeping on and just keep drafting them.
Sure. Yep.
And that's what you do with your rookies drafts. Like you're saying, you just churn them, man. You just draft, you hammer that running back position, because that's the one position where if one guy goes down, he's immediately filling in and he's going to have, you know, volume. Whereas even if a quarterback goes down, we've seen quarterbacks fill in that have just been god awful, or they don't even let them throw. But the running backs, a starting running back's going to get 15 to 20 carries.
Well, yeah,
and that goal we were just talking about is 55% Chubb, 45% Wentz. There's 19 hours left.
It's changed a lot over the over today. But and then we've always talked about on the show about when by week 9, week 10, week 15, you're starting running backs that nobody even was talking about at the beginning of the season. So I get that. I was just more talking about the handful of elite guys there are. But like you say, everybody has their own opinion on how they run their team. So
yeah, for sure. That's why you have so many. That's why we have so many analysts out there, just to give you, their how they run their teams. You take a little bit from everybody, and you get your own opinion.
Exactly. And to me, I always liked the fact where, especially if I'm in a league with somebody, where somebody has the complete opposite of idea as what I want to do. Because then that means
good trading
I could,
partner.
Yeah, right. I could do what I want to do. You could do what you want to do. And we can go our ways. And, you know, one of us will work and one of us won't. But, you know, when you're speaking of rookies, I know on your show, you guys are ranking all your rookies right now. But the way you do it, you're not really ranking them. You're just talking about them, about what you believe the value is of all these guys. And then you hold off till the rookie draft before you really finalize those rankings. Do you do that every year when you do it that way? Because I know a lot of people do it three different steps and it changes every single time. So is this how you guys do it every time?
Yeah, we always do it that way, simply for the fact, like, why would you rank them now when it's going to completely change when you get an NFL team literally in like 4 weeks from now? So
that's
like,
how
why
I
even
feel about it.
Like, why even argue the facts? So we just do it kind of like in like Shane does, like tiers. So we know AJ Brown, N'Keal Harry, Hakeem Butler, we know that's a tier. So, like, we can talk about those guys in that order. So that's how we do it. And we just kind of break down that player, what we like about that player, what we don't like about that player, and then let's see where they everything that happens from that and where they land. You know, that's the best way to do it. And then afterwards, you reassess. You've already watched all the tape. You've already made your analysis on each one of these players. And now you look at their, scheme, their opportunity, and the situation they're in. Yeah. And where does that, where does that hurt them, or does it give them a little boost?
Because it gives you a confidence rating going in too, a confidence rating in how you have them ranked. And that's what I do at the end is, I guess I call it a confidence rating, but it's basically that helps me adjust the order. You can't tell with any of these players until they're on an NFL team. It's just too hard. I mean, you can say who you think is better in a vacuum like we do all the time, but I don't see how you can give a valid set of rankings, tiers or otherwise, before landing spots. It's just, I mean, not solid.
I can give you one, but I can give you one, but it's built on quicksand.
right.
And that's the point. Everybody changes it. So that's why I asked Rich, because I know on his show tomorrow, I believe you guys are starting wide receivers. And you always end up talking about them that way. And then once the draft happens, then you start to try to finalize those lists.
Yeah, sometimes people don't change. Like, we love a player. Like, you know, Josh Jacobs isn't falling down my list. You know, N'Keal Harry's not falling down my list. It's not like it's more as I'm really going to isolate my rankings. And like you said, some of those are just they're so close anyways. Like nothing's worse when somebody's on Twitter or something like, oh, there's how do you like N'Keal Harry over Hakeem Butler? And I literally have, you know, N'Keal Harry number two and Hakeem Butler number three. I'm like, dude, it's yeah. If I was on the clock, that's who I'd pick. I gotta take somebody. Okay, as of right now, that's who I would take. I mean, take Hakeem Butler. Split hairs. I can get N'Keal Harry at number three. It's like, come on, man. So you just, I mean, you watch, you give your analysis before they're on any team. You say what you like about the player. You know, it's pretty simple. It's just your opinion. You know, that's why people listen to anybody that anything we have to say. It's just our opinion. If you're right more than you're wrong, people keep listening. That's how it works. You just give your opinion on it, and that's it. And you take it for what it's worth. It's just what you see on tape, and then afterwards, like you know, you just readjust, and then you actually rank them. And you know, how would you have them?
There's so much on Twitter trending with it happens every year with who's 101, who's 102, who are your top five players, or your number one at every position, and that can be interesting. But it's so much. There's so much more to talk about after getting past that, about so many players, like the Andy Isabellas, the Greg Dortches, players that maybe, you know, Paris Campbells, depending on where they're, what team they land on, what can we get excited about? And I like those. That's another thing I like about seeing the players land on teams at the draft is because then those stories get to come to fruition. And we can stop talking about why somebody has Harry over Metcalf. It's just, it becomes boring after a while.
Well, it is funny, too, because a lot of people just look at that thing, like you were saying, this guy's number two, this guy's number three. So they say, oh, that guy's better. And you've got to be a little flexible. But part of the reason I ask you this question is there are some people, we're in a league, actually, with Matthew Berry and some other people, where they're going to do the rookie draft before the rookie draft happens. So for people that can't wait for those rankings that you're going to give, are there any players out there that you guys have talked about over the last couple of days that some people should keep their eye on before this rookie draft happens that they may not be paying attention to?
In depth, I mean, I like the idea of drafting before the NFL draft. Then it kind of gives a little bit more privacy to this person actually puts the time in to watch the tape. But like deep radar, I mean, honestly, if I'm being honest, like, deep guys I could think of, like right now I'm so immersed every night. Like when I get done podcasting with you guys, I'm watching tape on wide receivers tonight. So it's like right now I'm just so focused on like each individual player when I have them in front of me, because I'm going through a player, I'm spending an hour on a player, then another hour, and you know, just put it in. So it's right now the thing of, oh, who's my sleep guy right now, I'm so focused on the next guy. I know there's a couple guys I like a lot, you know, like I like Miles Sanders a lot. Like I do. I mean, in a running back position, If somebody really needed a running back and Josh Jacobs just went one, for example, and Miles Sanders lands in the perfect situation to me, like say he lands on the Bucks, you know, and Josh Jacobs goes Eagle and both teams need a running back, and you took Miles Sanders number two, I could see people going, oh, what are you taking him over these sweet receivers? Like, I'd be totally okay with it. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm a big fan of him, big fan of top-tier receivers, really big fan of T.J. Hockenson, like Noah Fant as well, even like Irv Smith Jr., both Ohio State receivers are like Deebo Samuel, I like, but it's chalk right now. Like a lot of those guys aren't like I don't like DK Metcalf, you know, right now. Like he's, and it's not like I don't like him. Like I think he's going to, I don't think DK Metcalf's necessarily going to be terrible for sure. I mean, look at the guy, but odds are from everything I've seen over, you know, my entire life, I'm almost 40 watching football, guys like him, his success rate are way lower than not. Like, again, I mean, when you're picking these guys, it's a gamble, man. So, like, what are you going to put your chip on? You know, you're going to put your chip on red, black, or double zero, all right? So, I mean, DK Metcalf to me, right, going to be a double zero. Where's that risk worth the reward, you know? When double zero doesn't come up for 1,000 times in a row, then, yeah, you put on it. But, I mean, Kevin White, I mean, he's the most clear example you give. The last player that, you know, came out just real quick. I mean, and DK Metcalf wasn't even the best player on his team. I mean, at least Kevin White was the best player on his team in West Virginia, so – that's a player I don't really like, but right now, sleeper-wise, man, I'm just not on it. I'm still going to be a couple weeks away right by the time the NFL draft hits and go, okay, this is a good guy that I like, good opportunity too. Because, again, sleeper's going to be a guy who has opportunity as well. You know, it doesn't matter, like, I'm gonna pick some small-round school now who I think, oh, guys, keep your eyes on him. You get those guys all the time, definitely in the community, because we need something to talk about. But then this guy goes undrafted, and you're like, yep. You know, remember Isaiah Correll was like, you know, Isaiah Correll in like January was like the number one running back, right? And it goes undrafted, and you're taking who the Browns took in the third round that year, Terrence West, over him in some, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's even that, sure, it's good to have the guys you like, but it could turn out being silly too. You know what I mean? He could be the fourth wide receiver, fifth wide receiver in the Rams behind Josh Reynolds. He'd be like, oh,
he had great college tape.
Be a great college tape. You know, like the next Chad Hansen was my guy last year. I'm like, this is my little sleeper guy that has to be really good. You know what I mean?
Do you ever play any Devy or anything?
Never.
I was going to say, listening to the way you talk about this, I didn't assume you played any Devy. No way. Don't do it. Yeah. Don't play Devy. Yeah. Don't do it.
I just don't have the time to watch the college play. Again, it's for me, Dynasty's a true 365. You know, as soon as the season's over, I'm watching tape. Like, I'm watching tape. And by the time June and July come around, it's like, all right, I need to go swimming. This is ridiculous. I just spent 10 months of my life nonstop studying and talking about Dynasty and fantasy football hardcore. Like, I'm not going to go out here and watch some 17-year-old's tape and see how he's going to do versus, you know, Delaware State. No, thank you.
Man, you're the perfect guest for this show.
Well, but the other thing is, when you were talking about that with those players then, for the people that don't have the luxury of waiting for the NFL draft to happen, would you suggest more maybe trading out and getting some 2020 picks then instead of taking a shot on one of these guys where it's so landing spot specific?
Yeah, I mean, next year's 2020 classes would be loaded. You know, I don't have to study Debbie to know that. Running backs are coming out and receivers like to come out. But yeah, so yeah, if you can get away from it and trade ahead just in that draft class, it's just there's going to be a lot more talent there. Those picks are going to be so more coveted next year as well. So, yeah, I'd make that move. Out of almost any 19 pick, there's not nothing you can get me if you're going to get me in the 2020 class. I don't care if I have 1-1 this year. And, like, the guy has 1-2, and I know his team's pretty shitty. He's offered me his first this year, his second this year, and a player, you know, or something along those lines. Like, yeah, I'm moving out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of something we've talked a lot about, so that's why I wanted to get your feelings on that.
Yeah, we've been preaching that on the Nerds podcast for, like, literally a year. Like, at the end of last year's rookie class, we're like, hey, for next year's class, let's let you go into it. It looks like it's going to be pretty weak at running back. Doesn't look really that overly great anywhere strong. So, like, maybe now's the time to get out and try and grab those 2020 picks, which I'm glad. Like, I'm in a lot of Dynasty leagues. I made a lot of those moves at the end of the 18 draft. So, even where I don't even have some 19 first, I even traded those 19 first last year for something, for a couple. I have a lot of 2020 picks already. And those are going to come harder and harder to come by. So I'm pretty ecstatic about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've loaded up on a lot of 2020 seconds because I think people, there's like this disconnect. They realize the 2020 class is really deep, but then they don't realize that the 2020 second round picks are probably going to be, you know, more valuable than is normal. But I'll just keep doing that. Like, if you want to throw me seconds in every trade, that's fine. I'll take them for next year.
You've got to listen to Dynasty Nerds podcast then, because that's what we were preaching too for a while. We're like, hey, man, you're like, anytime you can get somehow finagle a 2020 second in any trade, make it happen. Like, as many as you possibly can, because it's going to be, like you said, deep. I mean, right now, from like the research, what I have into it, I mean, there's going to be like 10 running backs that are going to be quality running backs right now. Now, obviously, they may not find a home. That's a lot. You're talking about, if you're in a super flex league, look out. I mean, you're going to have quarterbacks, running backs, some really good receivers. I mean, yeah, pick 15, that's going to be a sexy-ass pick.
Yeah, I actually moved a 2020 first for a player and a 2020 second. I don't remember now what it was. It was last month. But I was happy to move back because I had already won that league anyway. So my first might be the 12th, and then now I can get the 13th or whatever. But
flip that, though. You should also use those sexy-ass picks to get a really good player because somebody was like over – analyzing the 2020 picks, you're like, oh my god, my nipples are so hard right now for those picks. I don't know what to do. I'll give you this. I'll give you Todd Gurley. I don't care. Give me those two first. I'm gonna get the next Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith. Hook me up.
Well, and that's perfect because that goes into one of the trades that I had on here that I wanted to ask you about. That actually, between Shane and Jeremy, I spoke to both of them on the phone over the weekend, and they both gave me completely opposite different
answers.
Advice. Thank you.
Why are you surprised by that?
I just totally blanked out, but they both gave me completely opposite advice. Yes. So I wanted to bring it up, but it actually goes into kind of what you were saying right there. I was out of town and I had been working on a deal for a couple of weeks, and in my home league, it's all contracts. So you have these guys for X amount of years and then they're done. So I have a lot of guys on 1-year deals, but I've won that league 3 of the last 4 years. So I was trying to get Chubb off of this one guy who has a 5-year deal because he's still in his taxi. So we were working out the deal, and it was my 2020 first and my 2021 first. And somebody else's 2021 first. So it was 3 firsts, but it's mine next year and mine and somebody else's the year after. And for Nick Chubb. So, and then he came back and said, throw in DJ Moore and I'll do it. So I had called Shane and Shane said, Shane's shaking his head. He goes, absolutely not. Do not do that. No way. And I had texted Jeremy and Jeremy's like, yes, absolutely. You do that. You know, so you're shaking your head. No. But
these are 2021 picks, though, right?
Yeah, these are 2021 picks. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Did he give you a drink from Bill Cosby before that? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. But, see, here's the thing.
But see, that
DJ Moore is going to be, we were just talking about this.
Right.
DJ Moore will be at worst, a wide receiver too.
Okay.
At worst.
Talking about Curtis Samuel?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I like Curtis Samuel. I do like Curtis Samuel, but DJ Moore is a much better player.
Look at Curtis Samuel's stats last year and DJ Moore's stats last year.
I look at his. Yes. Look at their quarterback too. Yeah.
So the point is what you said about. No, go ahead.
I interrupted Shane's comment on there.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
DJ Moore.
Yeah, go ahead. You were saying about DJ Moore.
DJ Moore's
I'm
got...
an interjector. I interject myself into people's conversations.
Always.
I really like this because normally it's Shane that does it to everyone, and now you're doing it to Shane. I'm totally all cool with that.
Between the three of us, we step on each other all the fucking time, so go ahead.
It's awful. It is. It's just, I wish you guys weren't so rude.
Us.
I'm trying to class this place up, and I got you guys stepping all fucking over me. I don't even remember what I was saying. DJ Moore is... he's going to be at worst a wide receiver two, and I think he's going to be a wide receiver one. I like Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel is not going to be a hindrance to that.
So you were saying, Rich?
I would not have done that. No way. I wouldn't have gave up the three first for Nick Chubb. I don't think, just because it's like that's a lot of commodity for a running back,
right?
You know, like we mentioned earlier, that's not like, I mean, if I'm giving a three first and DJ Moore, like you better be giving me Alvin Kamara.
That's the thing.
If you want me to give you heat, you better give me heat back. And I like Nick Chubb. Like, I like him a lot. But I mentioned, like, right now, those waters are murky and muddy. And, like, yeah, I like him a lot. He's going to eat 1-8. But nobody knows what's going to happen from week 8 on. And for me, I'm not giving up any, like, not that kind of commodity.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'll draft three guys and then trade those. You know, hopefully I hit on all those. I hit two out of three of those guys.
I like that he did it now, though.
Well, the problem,
like what he got now in a 5-year deal, right?
Chubb, well, that's the thing. The problem is, I have, and salary cap management and stuff. And I have Gurley, Gordon, Kamara, and Fournette. I have those four. But Gurley and Gordon are done after this year, and their prices are so cheap. But after this year, I'm never going to be able to afford all these things. And Chubb will give me a 5-year deal at $40 as opposed to $300 some of these other players. So there's always
so much math.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. So if you take those things into consideration, it's a way of making sure that I'm trying to replenish the running backs that I have, because it's going to be so hard to get the other ones. And I get what you're saying.
So the 2020 first and DJ Moore, if you don't look at the 2021 picks, which you might be able to get back. Pay for picks too? I mean, do you pay for your draft slot?
And that's why I'm saying there's a lot of different things to it.
There's
many
facts.
It's more about protecting the future for me of having somebody next year. And I've won it 3 of the last 4 years. So I'm just trying to keep winning. That's all.
And you like Nick Chubb.
Real quick, Michael. So what you're saying is this isn't the type of trade that's actually very good for a podcast.
It's fine for a podcast. It's because even last week.
We need charts.
First of all, even last week we talked about auction. And do you know how many people kept telling, oh my God, please talk about auction more. We need to talk about auction.
I'm saying it's tough to come up with a right answer definitively because of all the moving parts. Because it's still arguable at the end of it anyway. So.
But you know why? But Jeremy, you know why he said that? Because it wasn't one of his trades. Usually the only trades we talk about are his trades. That's what it is.
But that's not why.
It is.
It's a very complicated trade. We just need it like flow charts and some graphs to help explain it. We need it visually, don't go well on podcasts.
I'm rough with auctions because I'm not an auction virgin, right? Now, but like I'm going into my third sexual encounter with auction league, so I'm not experienced. I'm going in there pretty confident, but I'm not I don't know exactly what's going on around here. Now, like just like last week in one of John Bosch's leagues, I made a I made a move for Melvin Gordon, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll take on that contract. And then afterwards, I go to Bosch. I'm like, how much more do I have to spend? He's like, well, now you don't got much more to spend. I'm like, oh, I should have probably thought about that before I made the trade.
And John's leagues are awesome. We have one that's really complicated, but yeah, no.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you can't even talk about values with John on these trades because it always boils down to who got the better end of the contract swing, who cut dollars, who cut years. I mean, it doesn't matter the quality of players doesn't really factor in as much as the numbers and the math for him. Really, you saw that about the running back trade we swung with Shane.
Yeah.
So Bosch's leagues are definitely interesting like that.
Yeah, but I'm just looking at like an awesome starting lineup. Like, where's my starting lineup? Like, I want to win this thing. Where's my best starting lineup? Yeah, I'm not trying to save a buck. I'm trying to win some ships here.
See, God forbid you went after Melvin Gordon. Are you crazy? Such a good running back. Why do you want him? You paid for that? I'm just kidding. I mean, that's exactly what you have to go for.
And that's what I tried to do for that league. I just try to always make sure I have somebody. But all right, so Shane, then why don't you tell us one of these trades then that's not complicated for people?
Well, so this is a league that the three of us are actually in with Rich in a league.
Rich, apparently we are in a league with you that Shane never told us about. Shane accepted it.
It's our podcast,
but he never told Jeremy or I that we're in it.
He's our proxy, unbeknownst to us.
It's a podcast league, and I'm in the league, and Matt has no idea of the show. I don't know, okay.
There you go. See, and I brought up on air. I think on air is how I told them that we're in the league, matter of fact, mentioning trade before.
I love that, but Matt doesn't know either. That's funny.
Well, because here's the thing. Having a co-owner is not fun. It's not.
No way. No.
It's a different level of fun. It's fun, man.
I mean, it's fun in the sense of like, it's like when you go to one of those art house movies and you're like, oh no, yeah, that was great. But really, you're like, I have no idea what just happened. That's how I feel about co-ownership.
Yeah, because the only part of that's fun is like, if like you guys were debating between like, between player A and player B, and like one of you is going to be right, right? So like, you know, like I told you we should have taken player A, asshole. And then that's pretty much what we've already run into during the draft
because Shane doesn't like to play. Shane isn't a team player necessarily with certain things, but we made it work, and I do think it's fun. I have a lot of leagues where it's just me, and this is a totally different setup, and I think it's been fun, and I'm not going to tell Scott Barrett and all of his friends that I'm not going to be in his league because I can't own the team by myself. So, I mean, the three of us are doing this team together, Scott Barrett's DFB Invitational, and it's been okay. I think we have a pretty good team, and we've got a co-own. We don't really have a choice.
Thanks for the invite, Scott.
And, I make exceptions when I need it. Just like for HQ2, we're going to co-own a team so that it's not, you know, an 18-team league or whatever. But anyway, in the Ultimate Dynasty Podcast League that Rich is in that Matt doesn't know about and that you guys didn't know about.
What's the trade?
It's Superflex tight end premium 1.5 PPR.
So this is a trade that we did that Jeremy and I don't know about. Okay.
Yes, you guys were involved in this trade.
I can't wait to find out what we did.
So
obviously the trade, you guys don't know the term silent partners.
Sony Michel for OJ Howard, 2019 110, and then the 2019 209.
Okay. So I don't even care. I don't even care about the 209. That doesn't really even move my needle at all. I mean, thanks. You know, I'm gonna try and get super flex with tight end premium, so it helps. And I like OJ Howard a lot. I do. But then at 110, like I'm most likely, since I just traded Michelle, I'm assuming I'm probably gonna need a running back. And like at 110, I'm probably not gonna get a good running back. So I'd rather just have Sony Michelle.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy? Michael. Oh, that's...
First of all,
I've been bashed all night for picking the running back side, but I would pick the running back side on this one as well.
Oh, Jesus H. Christ. Well, whatever. We traded away Sony Michel, and I hate you all.
I mean, no, it's really like, for again, Howard? It's not like it's a tight end premium. And like, again, we mentioned earlier in the beginning of the show, like tight ends, like real good ones are hard to come by. And I mean, OJ Howard, where he hasn't been like a flash. Like he's shown some really good signs to be a productive tight end.
He shows promise.
But I mean, I don't see him ever. I don't see him as like tight end one. Like I can see him as consistently being like that tight end number five. Definitely with some good talent coming in this year as well, and some of the last year's class. I mean, I like OJ Howard, but it does help this tight end premium, I guess. But that's a lot of balls to go around too. Like, so you're gonna double, you know, one and a half catch, but you still got Evans there. You still got Chris Godwin there for targets. You still have Cameron Brate there, who Jameis Winston has a rapport with. And with their running back situation, I mean, if they say they got, like, again, a guy like Miles Sanders or Josh Jacobs who catches the ball well, then that's another target to go as well. I'd much rather have, like, a guy like Evan Ingram over O.J. Howard. I know that's not a part of the trade. It has nothing to do with the conversation. But I was just thinking of God, you know, in that situation.
No, I got it.
See, for me,
I, running backs is way more disposable, but I still like the Sony Michel side slightly. I don't think you got robbed because of the tight end premium and Howard. But I mean, I'm not interested in those picks that you got back.
Yeah, well, here's the thing: if you're given 110, I'd rather just have Sony Michel and then draft Hockenson or Fant. That's like this way I would look at it. Nothing like Hockenson. Not saying they would be there at 110 in the Super.
We got the 110.
No.
We got the 110 in the 209.
No. What he's saying is then
hold on to Sony.
Yes, hold on.
If
to
I had Sony. Yeah, I would just run. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So for me, I typically don't ever like any Patriots player at all. Anyways, but when I said that, it was mostly because
you don't like Rob Gronkowski.
Well, I guess not. Listen, I'm from South Florida, but yeah, you're right. That Gronkowski.
I'm a Dolphins fan.
Gronkowski and Brady would be the only two people. Well, the main reason is when I say I don't usually get those Patriots is because Belichick changes every week to week who they want.
Yeah,
to
you
do
don't
something.
Know who's going
to
go.
You don't
off
know what. You, yeah,
well, just real
but,
quick.
But my so, point, so. Wait, I was going to say oh, is sorry. I wouldn't do it because of the picks is what I was going to say too, because I'd rather have the running back than to have the 110 and the 209 is what I was going to say. As well, but go ahead.
Okay, I also so am a big Sony fan.
Do you know how many times Sony Michel scored eight or fewer points last year?
Look at Sony Michel's playoff stats. That's what I expect for him next year.
Yeah, Sony Michel had he definitely had great playoff stats, but he still didn't see the ball at all in the receiving game. And he's easy to game script out. He had less than a target per game last year during the regular season and the playoffs.
Okay, then you know what?
You have James White who's caught like the second most footballs in the NFL.
And James White isn't going anywhere at least through 2021.
Neither is Sony, but if you like Nick Chubb, I mean, you gotta like Sony Michel too. I mean, it's not like it's like, Nick Chubb's going out there to catch a ton of footballs, and we're talking about giving up 18 first round picks and a handy. Come on.
And that's why I said I'm on the Sony Michel side. That's what I said. I said I've been bashed all night for picking the running back, but I'm picking the running back here too.
All right, so it's 3-1. It's fine.
Yes.
Three to one. Very brave of you to put that on here.
And I like how he said I gave away a handy to get Chubb. That's funny.
Well, you did. I mean, you gave up first round picks from here till
that
infinity.
That listen, I don't give a shit. I've won it 3 or 4 years. I'm going to win it again this year, and I don't care about that pick in 2021.
You're going to win. Can it I ask Nick Chubb, baby?
Do they make you pay your dues throughout all those years because they know you're going to be dead?
I'm the shut up. I'm not going to be dead, dude. If something happens to me, you are going to feel so bad, man.
I don't have feelings. I will just look for someone that can edit our podcast.
That's why you're gonna feel bad, because you're gonna need a new editor. It's not that I'm not gonna be here. Thanks a lot. God,
I can edit, but I'm not gonna volunteer for this job.
Yeah, exactly. So Rich, sorry, we kind of got sidetracked there with all those trades and everything, but we appreciate that. You know, we appreciate you weighing in on some of those trades. But typically, that's what we end up talking about is a lot of trades on here. So is there anything else that you would like to discuss or talk about, like coming up with this rookie draft or the next year's or your website or anything like that before we wrap everything up?
I mean, as far as the rookie draft, you know, just check out our podcast, the Dynasty Nerds podcast. I mean, we kind of, like we said earlier, just break down every rookie, trying to give you put yourself in the best position possible to dominate that draft. It's the best way to build a dynasty team. You know, and obviously check out dynastynerds.com. Follow me on Twitter, Dynasty Rich. But again, I mean, that's what we're here to do. Just talk dynasty, right? Kind of shoot the shit, talk about it, tell everybody what we think. Hopefully, you know, like we're right. Hopefully. And that's really about it. I mean, besides that, I mean, No, I don't.
Yeah, listen to the Dynasty Nerds. It's out every week. I listen.
Thanks.
Yeah,
everybody listens.
It is definitely in my rotation. It's I forget what day it comes out because I lose track of what days it is. What days it is when it comes out. Yeah,
I'm pretty picky. There are a lot of podcasts out there. I certainly don't have time to listen to them, and I can't say this. I can't say this based on having listened to all of them, but I have listened to many, and I don't like all of them. You know, I like yours. I like the dummies. I like Dynasty Happy Hour. I like that open bar is kind of funny. I like the Podfather because that guy's fucking nuts and not afraid to tell you everything he thinks. But I'm pretty picky, and there's a handful of them I've listened to. I'm like, yeah, this is good. And of course, the Footballers. I mean, you know, those are good guys, and it's a well done production. But I'm just saying, there are so many out there that are just really. Yeah, it's just hard to listen to them. I don't know.
But you like Mine and Best, though, right?
I like it up there with yeah.
Wait, my hand's up, and yeah, listen. There's a lot of podcasts out there, but I've said it plenty of times. I've said it to these two guys. The only reason I ever even wanted to do these kind of shows is after listening to your show. And your show, I mean, I love a lot of guys out there that we talk to a lot and everything, but your show is the one show that, for me, I listen to it every week. And
wait, real quick, you don't listen to our show?
Sounds like I'm gonna get a handy.
Yeah, exactly. And yes, I listen to our show way more than you do. I listen to it four or five fucking times editing just it, which I will be doing tonight as soon as we hang up. But
we love you, man.
Do you know
we
I never
you.
Listen to the Dynasty Nerds podcast after we get done recording it? Mm-hmm. I just stop. Mm-hmm. I hit it. I never. And I don't even know if something's wrong with it unless somebody write us. So I don't even listen back to it.
Yeah.
And that'd it's be just, nice.
Like our stuff, like we don't edit. We're like we go in raw, man. We're not even scared. STDs doesn't bother us. We get in there, we say what we got to say.
Yeah,
and then we give it to the people like right away the next day. Because then if I had to sit there and edit, you'd be getting our podcast like a week later. I'd be. I'm a fantasy information guy, not a technology guy. I'm pretty bad when it comes to stuff like that.
Well,
that's why we like our patron episode, yeah, because we just can just go off the rails with it and say whatever, and it's unloaded on our patrons.
I sit here till 3 o'clock in the morning editing the whole thing so I can get it out tomorrow. We've always done it that way, but I know that you don't do it that way. So
I gotta watch that tape, man. I don't have time to be out here editing. You know, watch Paris Campbell. You know, 8 games of Paris Campbell. Or am I gonna sit here and see if I said the running back? You know, gotta get it out there
with your G's. Exactly. Yeah, Shane's the same way. Not only has Shane never listened to our show, but he's never listened to any show he's been a guest on either. So,
No. Well, correct that.
Oh,
I haven't listened to the episode.
I didn't mean that you never listened to the show.
You already know what you said. Like,
yeah.
Exactly.
I agree.
If you guys sounded like me, you would not want to listen to it either.
Oh, shut up. Everybody loves your voice. You're so funny.
Oh, then they're special because my voice is awful.
Between you're making fun of yourself I was going to say, Rich makes fun of himself all the time on the show, too. You guys are ridiculous. No, you're ridiculous. It's a great voice. So, listen, thanks a lot for coming on. And Jeremy,
yeah, thanks for coming on the show, man. You know something? You got to come back to do a mock draft with us. It won't be an hour. I mean, get on and make your pick and you know.
Yeah, after the NFL draft, we have a few people that all said that they would come in to do a mock. So maybe we'll get
the
you
week
back
of the
in
29th.
Here.
Yeah,
a rookie mock.
Yeah,
yeah, just a
after the real NFL draft,
right after the draft.
Who says no to mock drafts?
Like, there you go.
I wish people just let me draft their dynasty teams for them, just so I could draft every day. But hey, can you draft my team for me? Like,
dude, you know people would pay you to do that. You should do it.
I'm gonna set you up for so much damn success. I'm probably gonna get a handy out of this.
He's not going to ever let you live that down.
That's like the theme of the show. Hey, I drafted 3 people's teams last year, and one of them won, so it's good. All right, well, thank you very much, man.
The name of this episode is going to be
The Handy.
Everyone gets a handy.
Yeah, we'll have the handy in there somewhere, but thanks again.
Oprah on there, like, you get one.
Throw them out.
I'll have to get an Oprah drop for that, but yeah, thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, fellas. It was fun. Always fun to talk Dynasty Fantasy Football.
Have a great night.
Thank you. Thanks again. Take care, Rich.
Thanks. Before we finish up, let's hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at dynastyfootballfactory.com.
Now's a great time to sign up for the Scouting Academy. Not that there's ever a bad time, but now's a really great time with all the good stuff going on, you know, like the NFL rookie draft and all that good stuff. So do that. Save money.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun tonight, you know, going over some of this stuff and making fun of certain situations. So, but yeah.
Me. Just saying, making fun of Shane.
No, whatever. I think you were making fun of me is what it was, actually. So before we wrap up, we did want to say we have a couple new reviews. We would love for you guys to send us some rating reviews. We're getting close to that 100 ratings mark. I know, Shane, you wanted to talk about doing something at our 100th.
I did. Well, I knew I was doing the rating and review. You send us a picture of your, hopefully a 5-star review, rating and review on that iTunes, and be eligible to win a t-shirt. So fuck it. I guess once we get to 100, we're going to pick the winner. And it's going to be not anonymous, but when you do random, yes.
I do want to say we got an awesome one this week from Junior, T-I-G-R-E. Would it be Junior?
Tigger?
Well, no. Tigray. Junior Tigray. So, yeah. So, and he titled it, I don't know what I'm yelling about. But then he wrote, but I do know I love this podcast. It's the best all-male threesome I can think of. he said, chemistry is killer and laughter aplenty. Always bracing my ears for trade alert, but even more so in anticipation of which side I would take. Hashtag never Shane's side. So thank you, Junior Tigray.
I feel like Tigger's mocking me. Yeah, so you're not cool, Tigger. Not cool.
I do think it's funny, the best all-male threesome, so that was pretty
fun. I don't ever want to think about that again. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but just, you know, it's not my thing, that's all.
Well, thanks for the review, yes.
I mean, college, but, you know, college doesn't count.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Yes. Well, I don't know.
That's what they told me. I mean, anyway, just move on.
Well, all right. So thanks for listening to the show. And you wanted to tell people about our Patreon account, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you should become a patron because, first of all, it's fucking awesome. We got the GroupMe chat. I actually just did a little write-up on a trade that me and a brother from another mother outhouse did. We're going to be dropping our rookie ranks on there too. There's the bonus podcast episodes you get every week. There's the uncensored version. There's the roster reviews. Just go check out our tiers, check out our Patreon. There's a little something there for everybody.
Absolutely. And I love that outhouse, Jeremy, I don't know if you saw it today, but he wrote something in that Patreon group chat that, apparently anytime that you and I agree with Shane's trades, it's only when he's trading with Russ.
But nice. You guys agreed that Russ won that trade.
Yeah, well, that's what he wrote today in the chat. So, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks, Rich, for coming on. It was a lot of fun. And check out our Patreon and give us a rate and review. And check out our Twitter handle at Dynasty Trades HQ. Check out the website for all our written content there. I know, Shane, you've got a lot of written content. And we're getting some new blood in there too, right?
Where? On the website?
On the website, yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm just going to say keep your eyes to the sky for the prize, man, because there's going to be some things coming down the road. And, yeah, we've got some new blood coming in, so I'm excited because, you know, I get to work closely with the new writers. And as opposed to the image I like to portray, I actually enjoy working with new writers and, you know, new writers to the brand. And also real quick, I wanted to thank everyone that voted for any of us three in the Ryan McDowell Fantasy Follows. We greatly appreciate it. And don't forget, once those podcast votes come up, that's the one we really want. I'm not even going to lie to you. Vote for this show. Real.
Yes, thank you very much for all our individual votes. And I believe even our show was like what in the top 20 of individual names. That was awesome.
Our show came on 19th, and it's not even a person, although it does feel like it has a personality of its own.
So awesome. So yeah, check out that and look for that, and we appreciate all your votes. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks a lot.
Deuces.
Jeremy, are you even there?
Jeremy,
I'll see you guys. We'll see you next week. Same place, same time.
Bye. What the hell was that?